Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants.
Let's go, Giants! Let's go, Giants!
With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, August 2nd, 2021, and this is episode 233 of the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We are coming to you live on Facebook, and joining me today, Eric and Willie. Willie, how you doing, man?
I am good. Feeling better, and I, you know, I will say this. I had a little COVID situation. I was supposed to work through the entire Astros series. I got to watch all three games. So there's the silver lining right there. I got to watch all three incredible baseball games against the Houston Astros this weekend.
Man, I mean, it's, what better way to, you know, kind of spend the weekend? I was doing chores all weekend, so it was just like updating on Twitter and trying to listen to the radio as much as I can. What about you, Eric? How much were you a part of the games this weekend?
Oh, man, I'm taking my first breath today after a long weekend of baseball. Between the Dodgers, Astros, and the trade deadline, I mean, it has really, it's been baseball after baseball after baseball. So, I mean, it's nice to be able to take a break. I'm glad to be, we can talk about this trade deadline. We have something to talk about, and we're not, you know, going like, okay, do we hope that the Giants, I mean, the Giants made a trade. They found the perfect fit. And
this isn't normal. Usually
it really is.
Passes and we go, oh, I guess we just, okay, I guess we're fine. Yeah, okay, yeah. Second half will be fine. But this time, actually, like the thing happened, the actual thing happened. Yeah,
I wouldn't call the move shocking because Chris Bryant was, of course, on the radar and rumored to be a potential target. You know, and you started seeing these free agents dropping one by one. You know, the rumors the Giants were tied to Scherzer and others, and of course, LA gets Scherzer and Trey Turner, and you're just like, crap. You know, part of it is addition by subtraction too.
They got a reliever too, and they got
Danny Duffy from Kansas City as another starter. So they have two, you know, obviously an excellent starter, all-star starter, and Danny Duffy as well. And you're thinking, you know, with the competition improving like that, you got to make a move here. And of course, the fear is like you don't want to destroy the farm system that they've done so well in building up. But Farhan did it right at the last second. Kudos to the Giants Chatter Boys, which Eric was a part of. They had this long, like 5-hour stream covering the trade. Deadline day movements going on. So I had that on in the background. They did a great job, but they did. They pulled the trigger. They got Chris Bryant, and he is, he's already the second coming of Hunter Pence as far as Giants fans are concerned. And to me personally, that's what this kind of felt like, was this like, oh my God, we got the guy that we wanted. And he didn't come that night and like walk around the park and stuff, but he came in, he greeted the fans, he signed autographs. He was giddy. He talked about it in his pregame interview. And I'll share a little of the postgame interview here in a second, talking about how he grew up a Barry Bonds fan and his mom like bought a signed ball at a mall, which has faded and he needs to get a new autograph. All of these really, really cool things. And it just sounds like he really is not just a perfect fit as a, you know, not a utility player. He's not a utility player, but he has that utility because he can play the outfield positions and he can play the corners. But just kind of personality and clubhouse. And so, I don't know, what did you guys feel? How did you guys feel about this whole trade?
I think I texted right away. This felt like Hunter Pence. The Hunter Pence, I mean, that's 2012. That's the last time I remember us making any significant move.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what we gave up at the time for Hunter Pence, but it felt very similar in that it was like, well, we're not really selling the farm here. We gave up, you know, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Bart or even Lamont Wade. People were like, yeah, that's the guy. And I'm like, why would we move that guy right now? Like that guy. So, and neither guy we gave up was close to sniffing the bigs, right? For at least like another year or two. So it just felt like we just, like first we get like Crawford back And then we're going to get Longo back, and then we're going to get Belt back. But it's like we just inserted like the number one guy on the market into our ball club and the guy who fits what our needs were the best. I mean, literally, he can play wherever we need a guy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And he instantly leads the team in home runs. He's like, you know, he's like the team with the highest amount of home runs in the National League, and we get a guy who leads that team in home runs. Now with 19, by the way. So, I mean, like, it's just, it's definitely the Hunter Pence comparison is 100% apt.
Yeah, and Eric, I know you guys were live on Giants Chatter, so you got a little pumped.
Oh my God! I was so ecstatic. Oh, I let out a big woohoo in that moment. And it's funny that the whole Lamont Wade Bart thing. I'm with you. Just didn't seem right when that rumor was going around that those were the guys that were going to be traded. It's amazing that they were able to just send off Canario and Killian in the trade. And I think I read somewhere it was a six-round draft pick and an international signing that the Giants traded away for Chris Bryant, which is just an unbelievable haul for Farhan to do. You know, he turned nothing into a possible franchise player for the next 5 to 6 years if he decides to stick around. And as everybody knows, you know, I watch a lot of Cubs baseball, and to see the one guy on the Cubs that I've loved since he came up to the bigs and I've always thought has been a perfect fit in San Francisco without knowing all this extra stuff about him liking the Giants, I've always thought he'd be the perfect fit. You knew he'd be a Farhan guy. I was ecstatic. I'm so happy that the Giants got Chris Bryant. It's going to be so much fun the rest of the sprint to see him, you know, kind of fall into line with the players. Cause you know, the Crawfords will totally, you know, welcome his family into the fold, and they'll be like, yeah, come learn what it's like to be a Giant. You know, like there's going to be an all out push for Chris Bryant to stay a Giant. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's going to be hard to do too. We're going to be doing that Bryant, a Giant thing so much now. Just because it rhymes, and when it comes out, it feels weird. But, you know, but seeing also, KB.
Like, if you think about it, though, this is, like, the perfect timing to move to a guy like him because he's still young, right? We're moving out of the era. I mean, young. But, I mean, this
That's young enough. Yeah, absolutely.
We can have him prime Bryant, basically, for the next 5 years if we keep him, right? So, and we're moving out of an era of a bunch of guys, right? So, it's like this is a legit piece you could build around if you want to start infusing the team with, you know, other pieces as these other guys move out. You know, the Posies, the Crawfords, the Belts, the Longos. These guys are all not going to be around much longer, right? So this is the guy where you can entice other players to come. If you land him, then it's like, yeah, we got this guy. We got an MVP. Who wants to come here to our brand new homer-friendly ballpark? But the other thing about this trade, too, is it really shows where the Cubs are at, right? Because if the Cubs are like, yeah, just give us two quality prospects that are 4 years away, that's fine. Because we're dumping Rizzo and Baez as well. And are in full rebuild mode. So good luck to Eric. I know you. That's your second team.
All my friends. I feel so bad for everybody, man. They all feel like they've been kicked in the groin repeatedly. Like not even just, you know, falling to the ground once. No, the Cubs stood there and just kept kicking them. I mean, it's got to be so
brutal. Hustle, though, right? The commitment to the rebuild to just be
tear it all down.
If you're gonna tear it down, don't halfway tear it down, right? You got to really like get into the foundation.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I mean, Chris Bryant, obviously, I knew he was a Vegas kid. I didn't know his connections to the Giants and growing up a fan of Barry Bonds and all that stuff. But, you know, the Giants went a long way in terms of how they've treated him. They filled up his hotel closet with Giants paraphernalia, including even for his, you know, toddler son or whatever with number 23 on the back. They've been doing everything just right. Bryant, in the pregame interviews, I don't have those queued up right now. But he was talking about how he had a dream and a thought that he told his wife years ago that he always imagined ending up in San Francisco. He just didn't know how. And to hear those things, it's like, I think it was a little candor coming through. I really, really do. I don't think he was just bullshitting, you know, and placating the audience. There were a couple of other answers that I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, he could see himself in a Giants uniform. We'll see what happens in the offseason. You know, this is an enticing place to play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I mean, just right off the bat, you know, even if the Giants don't go on and win the World Series, if he has a good experience here, I mean, the Giants may have a leg up on signing him to a big contract. You know, they definitely will have the money. They have a lot of, you know, cap room coming off the books under the luxury tax. Even if they re-sign Posey to his option year, they have all sorts of options here. So I'm excited about it. I mean, if he does well and he fits in, I don't see why the Giants wouldn't throw the Brinks truck, you know, back at his mm-hmm. his place.
Yeah, I mean, who else do we have to pay? Nobody, right?
Nobody. So, that's why I think that's the core of why I wanted them to make a trade like this, because the Giants have the best record in baseball right now. And we literally don't know who will be on the team next year. So why not go for it? Why not go to try to get a final piece, a complimentary piece to close off that puzzle? I'm so glad that Farhan pulled the trigger to do it. You know, the Tony Watson deal, that was nice. Okay, sure. But, you know, to be able to go out and get Chris Bryant like that and actually pull the trigger without giving up much of anything at all, I mean, it seems like they're committed to being able to go in it. And they now know Bryant is a superstar they can build around if he wants to stay. This is not the Carlos Beltran experience all over again. You're totally right. Hunter Pence, when you said that right away, Hunter Pence is the perfect comp. And it might even be better because Bryant's more talented of a baseball player than Hunter Pence.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you want to be technical about it, yeah, Hunter Pence was never going to win an MVP.
Right.
You know, no. Like he was the perfect guy at the time, right? Because we didn't, you know, that time was Posey in his third year. Like that was, you know what I mean? That was all the rest of the pieces were young. That, you know, we had a lot more bona fide talent in 2012, I would say. This team is very different, and we were texting with Ty during the Houston series, and I was saying that in a way, like, I feel like our teams are kind of built similarly, where it's depth up and down the order, and it's not a couple of big names. This would be our biggest name now, right? Like, you could say you could make an argument for Longoria, but maybe 5 years ago Longoria, not right now, right? So the Giants are like built completely differently. But this is like the piece, and that's how Hunter felt at the time. The piece. This is the piece we wanted. This is the piece we needed, and we got it. And it's like, holy crap! Like, we get to have what we want as Giants fans. What? Okay,
yeah,
that's crazy.
I know that
I have Dodger friends who are like, I can't believe we didn't get him, and I'm like, okay, you guys got Scherzer. Like, my tweet to this guy the other night was, and he's a really nice guy, but I was like, why don't you get Lionel Messi while you're at it? Like, come on, like, just go ahead. Just be, you know, just, yeah, the Dodgers, you deserve everybody. I don't know why you don't just sign the best player at every position. I mean, that's kind of what they do, but
they try.
You know, yeah. It was just funny to watch that, like, kind of like feeling of like, we should have got Bryant. And I'm like, okay, there are other teams in baseball, mate.
Yeah.
And we were making moves too. It was pretty funny.
You know, I was in the camp with a lot of other Giants fans, a little hesitant on giving up too much for, you know, a KB, but I mean, let's dive into these two prospects they gave up. Let's start with Caleb Killian, right? Right-handed pitcher selected by the Giants, 236th overall in the eighth round of the 2019 draft, signed June 29th, 2019. This year at Richmond, that's AA, he was 3-2 with a 2.43 ERA, 63 innings pitched, 64 Ks. He does have a career 1.79 minor league ERA, but of course that includes like single A ball and rookie ball. Okay, fine. He was signed, you know, 2 years ago. Yeah, maybe he'd be good in the future, maybe not. But he was, you know, ranked the number 30th prospect in the Giants system. Fine, whatever. Number 9 prospect, of course, outfielder Alexander Canario. He was signed as an international free agent by the Giants on July 2nd, 2016, so 5 years ago. And this year with San Jose High A ball, he was hitting just .235, 9 bombs, 29 RBI in 65 games. OPS of .758. He's a career .276 hitter in the minors and 890 at bats with 36 career home runs, primarily a center fielder. You look at the track record and you read some of the scouting reports on these guys. Yeah, they're quality ball players, but there's nothing on these guys that scream superstar or if you don't hang on to this guy, there go your World Series championship aspirations for 2024. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is such a, to me, an obvious trade to make. If I saw that on the table and I were Farhan and that's what you were offering, the Cubs said yes, I'd be like, sweet. You sure you don't want anything else?
I mean, I have to think that the Giants waited around. Farhan seems to do this. He'll wait around late in the deadline for the price to drop on somebody. And the fact that Scott Harris is on the phone, and Farhan might be too, but Scott Harris is on the phone with the Cubs, who he's very familiar with. He's talking to his old boss, Jed Hoyer. They're the ones making these decisions. And, you know, you got to figure that there was a certain group of players that that were offered by Scott to Jed Hoyer over there, and he chose those because there's no way, you know, that we talked about it, that Bart Wade rumor that got out that they were sending that. There's no way the Giants were going to give up something like that for Chris Bryant. And Farhan was able to wait out the market. And, you know, for some reason, nobody else could put together a better package than that for Chris Bryant, you know. And I've read some comments from Jed Hoyer of the Cubs today, and he made it a point to say they really tried to accommodate the players that they traded out. They sent Rizzo to New York, where Rizzo's family is originally from. They sent Baez to New York with the Mets, where he's going to get to play with his best friend Lindor when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And they sent Bryant to the Giants, where apparently he had said that he expressed some interest in playing before. So the Cubs, trying to be accommodating, also helped that price come down a little bit. You know, they weren't looking to hijack teams. They were kind of looking to take care of the people that had ended a 108-year drought. And, I mean, it was just the confluence of events that works out perfectly to be able to just give up the ninth and the 30th prospect in the organization like this. And the bonus with Canario getting traded is he had a 40-man roster spot, so it freed that up right away for Bryant to come in and take it.
It also, like I said, I think, you know, this might have fit what the Cubs were looking for more than maybe what other people were offering. If somebody else is offering, like, a AAA guy who's, like, supposed to come up next year, that might not be what the Cubs' direction is right now, right?
Right.
The Cubs might be looking for guys who are 2-3 years away, because that's the plan, right? So these might have been targeted selections from them. We don't know exactly how much, you know, it was all just Farhan, like, this is what I'll offer. Like, it might have been, look, we're looking through your prospects, and these are the guys that interest us the most. And maybe Joey Bart or Helio Ramos or Luciano, like, I mean, obviously everybody wants Luciano, but, you know, but I mean, like, these might have been targeted picks by them. And we're all giving Farhan, like, all the credit in the world, obviously, but, you know, the Cubs' plan has a part to play in this. And, you know, this might have just been the best fit for them. So, you know, it's like I said, they're in full rebuilding mode. They don't need a guy next year. They need a guy in 3 years. This is like the Astros before they won their World Series, right? Like, they had just nothing but the farm. And then next thing you know, it all comes together at the right time. So,
well, the Cubs stripped it down years ago. Rizzo was the one they built around. The Cubs stripped it down, and then Rizzo was the one they built it around, and then there came Baez and there came Bryant, and they were the final pieces. So, you know, they're hoping Wilson Contreras can be that at this point, but I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah, when you give up all three of those guys at once, you have to be looking at your farm system right now as the Cubs and being like, okay, 4 years from now, are we just going to be the best team in baseball? That's got to be the plan, right? So. And we're happy to take half a year of Bryant guaranteed and hopefully a lot more.
Like, you know, it's amazing. Everybody hearing from these Cubs fans, they don't understand it. They look at the Giants and they're like, how the hell did the Giants hold on to Crawford, Posey, and Belt and go from championship years to crap to back to contending? And here we've got to trade away Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez. I mean, and they're right to be angry. I totally think Cubs fans should totally be angry in this situation. And it's like I said, such a confluence of events that makes it easy for the Giants to take the right guy and swoop in. I mean, I'd be so angry if I were a Cubs fan.
You have to trust the process, though, I think. And that's, if I'm a Cubs fan, that's what
they're trying to do. They're all mad at their owner right now anyway.
Right.
That's the thing.
I pick one of the three teams that these guys went to, probably wherever my favorite guy went to. And I just start following that team for the rest of the year. And I
just buy their jersey.
And the Giants, you know, okay, to bring it right back here to us, the Giants are the most likable of those three teams. Who the hell wants to root for the Yankees or the Mets? Let's go, Giants.
And we got the best record in baseball. Like, come on in.
You know, I think one of the things that makes me appreciate the Giants and how they've run their organization for, you know, a long time, even across two, you know, administrations, if you will, going from the Sabian to the Farhan era, is the fact that the Giants not only were able to get 3 in 5 years, which, you know, another team has done recently, except for the Yankees back at the turn of the millennium. But, you know, you look at the Cubs and the Nationals, you know, who won in 16 and 19 respectively. Look at them, like you just said, Eric, completely dismantling their teams. Complete fire sale. The Giants did have some tough years, obviously, in 15 and 17, 18, 19. 20, they made a little surge, almost made the playoffs there. But the fact of the matter is they didn't strip their team. They didn't get rid of the Posies and Crawfords and Belts, and they lost pitchers due to retirement or injury. Right. Bumgarner's contract just expired. And they didn't – and Farhan didn't trade him because he thought he owed it to the team to keep Bum for a potential playoff push because they got hot in that time frame in July in 2019. So it's just one of those things that I kind of just look back and go, you know, the Giants never sold the farm. They had some bad years, but they held on to these guys, and look what's happened. You know, they're right back in the thick of things. And if Bryant, you know, let's say the Giants, you know, get kicked out of the playoffs early and Bryant goes on to sign with another team and the Giants lose those two prospects, you still got to look back on it even at this point and go, okay, I'm all right with that. I mean, with the Beltran trade, they were giving up Zach Wheeler at the time, who was a very highly touted prospect. And he has had some issues with Tommy John surgery, and he bounced, you know, from the Mets to the Phillies. But boy, Zach Wheeler is a stud right now. And you look at him, and I don't see, you know, a Killian or the other guy kind of becoming at that level. So I don't think it's going to bite the Giants in the butt if that does happen. You know, they get kicked out of the playoffs and Bryant signs with someone else. So, and this Giants, is just nothing coming up roses.
That was 2011?
Yeah. So that was the Posey that year.
Yeah,
that
they
was
lost
the year that Posey goes down, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. They needed really the offensive punch.
Was trying. Yeah, right. Even though Beltran maybe didn't pan out or whatever, there was a lot of other reasons.
It's also 10 years later, yeah.
But that was the difference. That was a team that was so pitching heavy that they needed another bat to try to bring them over the hump to get to the playoffs this year. And you made this point early on this year. Chris Bryant is getting added to the team who leads the National League in home runs already. I mean, it's not like they need him to supplement something. He's bringing more. So, like, how much even better can they do?
I have a question to pose to you guys. If we could go back before any of the trades were made, and you guys could pick, would you have rather targeted Bryant or Scherzer? Because right now, if you look on MLB.com, they're ranking the Scherzer, and maybe because they're pairing it with Turner, they're ranking the Scherzer pickup as the number one move in baseball at the deadline. Like, do you think the Giants' need was this bat, or do you think it was the starting pitcher?
I think they definitely could have used another starter. And the only concern we have right now, or I have right now, and it's a minor thing because it's only three starts, and it's after, you know, his kid was born and all that. It's having that dominant ace, right, to go in that wild card game or that elimination game.
A little bit of a funk.
And, you know, we have a question later in the podcast from one of our listeners that I'll bring up then. But, you know, if I were to start a number one right now before the All-Star break, Gausman without a doubt. Now suddenly it's coming to question. Like, if the game was this week, Gausman may not be the guy, right? I mean, he may bounce back and be fine. But, like, right now –
playoff situation. Yeah, right.
And that's what's scary about it. And you know they lost Bauer probably for the season and maybe even for his career. We don't know how this investigation is going to turn up. And essentially, I think they really pushed for Scherzer to replace Bauer is essentially what they did. They're going to have Kershaw coming back, right?
Point. They lost Bauer. That's and it feels like he's just done. So
that's why those trades, like, I get the ranking, and I think Turner is the key of that because he's under team control next year. Uh-huh. And if Corey Seager walks, then Trey Turner is the starting shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. For now, he'll play second. I agree. They really should have poked around on a starting pitcher a little more. That is my biggest concern because I feel like Gausman can fall off a cliff at any time. For all we know, DeSclafani could fall off a cliff at any time. We just don't know. Like, Logan Webb seems to have been the guy to keep them in position to win games. I think they've won, like, his last, like, seven or eight straight starts.
They've won every one of his last eight starts, the Giants have won. Yep.
Right, so you know.
The Giants, it's weirdly enough, the Giants' strength when it comes to pitching is the bullpen. Weirdly enough.
But well, I would have thunk.
I think the trade for Bryant was the perfect finishing piece, and the trade for the Dodgers was the perfect piece for them because, like you said, Bauer's gone, so they need to start pitching. Turner and sending off their best prospect in Josiah Gray was the price they had to pay for that. The Giants didn't have to pay as big of a price. So I think, like, I get why everybody would rank the Dodgers' trades as better right now because of the quality of the talent they got, but everybody made the right trades for them. Except for the Padres, because
it's just funny that, you know, right now we're looking at it Yeah, except for the Padres. Right now, we're like, well, the Padres also traded away Tatis for nobody, apparently. Because he's going to be down probably for the season.
Yep.
Anyway, but it's now that when I look at it, I'm like, Chris Bryant was clearly the thing. But before that, I was like, when Scherzer got announced to the Dodgers, I was like, damn. Because the story was that we were in the hunt there. So,
yeah.
And that was probably the name I was most focused on.
Cap confirmed that story, though. He said to reporters yesterday that the Giants were in on Scherzer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm guessing we were just in on everybody at all at the same time. And it was just kind of just how things kind of.
Yeah. They were linked to Danny Duffy. They were linked to Scherzer. They were linked to Bryant. So, I mean,
they should have been linked to drive the price up for everybody else. They should have been linked to all these guys.
True. But I mean, the thing is, I think a lot of people think of this as like one GM magically like doing all these things, but it's like, no, you kind of have to have your. You're dipping your toes in every single pool you can get, you know what I mean? Your hands on. It's like you have to kind of be on the phone with everybody all at the same time. What a job to have, right? Because we all sit back and we just armchair GM and we think we know everything and we would make the perfect situation happen. But you're talking like, I can't keep track of our top five prospects, let alone our number 30 guy. I'm like, who is this guy? We had this to offer? Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it all kind of worked out really well. And it's funny because you look at the power rankings today, they put the Dodgers back on top, even though we just beat them in two straight series.
Yep.
And we beat the Astros in a series. But because of that move, they put them back up at number one. And I haven't looked at the probabilities or any of that yet, but I'm guessing that theirs went up. And I don't know what ours did. It seems like a lot of people feel like the Dodgers definitely made the more significant changes, but we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, again, he's replacing Bauer. So, I mean, as far as the preseason predictions, nothing's changed that much, and the Giants have gotten better.
It's a lateral move. I saw somebody point it out.
So it doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
Right. The Dodgers had to do a lot to make a lateral move just to keep up with the Joneses, the Giants right now. I mean, it's friggin' fantastic.
Crazy.
What a situation, and especially after the week. We're going to get into the games here soon, especially after the week that was. What a position the Giants are in right now. It's really unbelievable.
The Dodgers also got back Mookie Betts, right, who had been down for a while. So
second base yesterday.
I have a feeling this is going to be a very interesting second half.
So Chris Bryant comes out yesterday. Obviously, we know what he did. Hit a jack in his second at-bat. But I wanted to fast forward real quickly and kind of listen to his post-game comments. This isn't on the Sunday show. This is just over Zoom right after the game. So let me go ahead and play this.
I guess first impression of Oracle and the fans while I'm on this side has been unbelievable. I mean, I played, the Giants for 6 years and always been impressed by, how smart and intelligent the fans are and how into it they are. And it's really cool for them to be cheering for you this time, around. So I was just talking to my wife out there. I was just saying how I've had an unbelievable first day. It's blown my expectations. Obviously, great to get the win and great to get a homer and get the first one out of the way. But all the stuff behind the scenes, too, has made me feel, pretty dang special. It's great. Very good. I mean, I've obviously said in the past in terms of those type of conversations, I'm not the main focus in terms of answering those questions, but I'm always open to anything. And I have a pretty good history too with Scott Harris, the GM here. He's a great guy, and I've always gotten along with him. So, and I've always admired this city too from afar. I've always looking on the schedule for San Francisco and seeing if there's an off day there because there's so much to do here, so much good food. It's never hot, so I love that too. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things here, and I'm just really happy to be a part of it right now.
Love everything about it.
I mean, that's all good, positive stuff to talk about, right? He loves the food here.
Instantly the biggest heartthrob on the Giants as well.
100%.
Yeah. He's got that Jimmy G kind of look.
He's got the blue eyes that sparkle like the sun hits him in the right way.
Yeah, Crawford's got to run for his money now, man. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I think we should have some. That's good commercials for the second half. It's like Crawford like getting jealous like Chris Bryant.
Think about those commercials for next year, though. They totally could run with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crawford trying to sabotage Bryant's hair or something.
Crawford, like, combing his hair. Right. You know? Him come in, like, everybody starts swooning. Everything about him seems like the kind of guy you want to root for right now, 100%. Except for that air, man. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
It was a tough play. I mean, he'd already gone all the way to his right. He spun around.
It was funny. He looked up and he was kind of like, oh, whoops, did I do that? It's like maybe he just overestimated how tall Ruff is.
Right. Rizzo must be a little taller than Ruff.
Damn, I forgot Rizzo's not over there. That's it, man. Yeah, so good debut by him. He was 1-for-4 and with a homer. And, of course, it started that 2-out, 3-run rally. But overall, look, you know, since we recorded last week, the Giants had a tough 6 games coming up. They went 4-2 against the Dodgers and the Astros, guys. The second and the third best teams in, you know, the majors. The Giants are now 66. I was too. I mean, this was an incredible 10-game stretch, right, where they had the 4-game series against L.A., then a 3-game series against L.A., and then the 3-game series against the Astros. They went 7-3 in those 10 games, guys. Like, they're meeting the test. They're passing the test. This is great. I mean, they lose 2-3 to the Cardinals and, you know, 2-3 to the Pirates or whatever, but it's like, whatever.
That was really annoying because you're like, these are the teams we're supposed to be – we're supposed to be crushing these teams. Yeah. And now we got this series again. We got a bunch of games against the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. I'm like, please don't play down. Please crush them like we're supposed to, because we need to widen these leads. Clearly the Dodgers and the Padres, you know, something bit them in the ass. Probably the Giants, like, still being in first place after this long, but they're suddenly scoring in bunches. So yeah, it's like pedal to the metal time. Let's go.
Well, I mean, when this week started with the Dodgers series, it was the battle for first place. It was conceivable that the Giants could possibly be. I think they had a 2.5-game lead at the start of the series, and I think they left
two,
out.
Right? Then we lose the first game, and then it was one, something like that.
Yep.
No,
We won the first. Wasn't it? They won the first.
Oh,
one?
Oh no, sorry.
Yeah, they won the first one.
Yeah.
The 4-game series, we won the first one, lost the second one, then won two. Right.
Yeah, they won the first one. That was the City Connect jerseys and the not Yastrzemski, Bellinger error.
Yeah,
that was the night that he airmailed third base and almost took off Max Muncy's head. And so it was like we really thought, you know, that Dodgers. It started such a week that at the beginning of the week we were worried the Giants could lose first place, and at the end of the week, not only did they have, I think, a slightly larger lead, they have Chris Bryant after playing the Astros. That Dodger series, though, starting off like that, it was just good to see they've evened up the season series now with them. And they're 4-0 in the City Connect jerseys. So, ha-ha to everybody who hates those uniforms.
I still hate them, but they are 4-0.
I mean, look, I could put ugly baseball jerseys on and win games, too. Like,
I mean, if you do, you'll keep putting them on, too. Yeah. That's the best part.
That's the thing. The baseball players are a superstitious bunch, right? Fans are, too. So it's like, now suddenly we're starting to talk about, hey, maybe in the playoffs they wear their City Connect jerseys.
Like, I could throw on a ladies' tube top and go out and shoot good pool. It doesn't mean the tube top did it.
Doesn't mean that. Yeah, but usually
doesn't mean the tube top didn't do it.
That's right. Okay, sure. You can't deny that it had nothing to do with it. It's like,
just
it's like,
don't know
your lucky jock strap, the one you didn't wash, right?
Yep.
You know?
Never wash it. I mean, look, I do this stuff too. I ordered friggin' sloppy.
Oh, what
Joe
about your sloppy days. Joes, man? the lucky sloppy Joes. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a long history there. I know. I think we all do a certain pre-game, during-game ritual, right? This kind of a meal, a place you watch, a couch you sit in. Do you stand? Do you sit? Like, I get trapped in those weird things, too, man.
Sometimes I'm watching the game, I'm like, wait, my hat isn't on. Where's my hat? Like, and I'm like, what am I doing? The Giants are losing.
The audio listeners didn't catch what Eric just did. I'll just let that one to their imagination. But overall, yeah, the Giants are now 27 games above 500, guys, 66-39. Still the best record in baseball, 9-7 since the break. You'd think, all right, that's fine. There's nothing great to write home about it. But you know what? The Dodgers are in 8-8 since the break, so the Padres are even worse. So the Giants have increased their lead. They're up by 3 against the Dodgers and 6.5 on the Padres. And like I said, that 10-game stretch, they went 7-3 against those hard teams. They also evened the season series against the Dodgers at 8 games apiece. They only have 3 more left. at Oracle, all in September, in the beginning of September. But they got 10 games left against the Padres. Not that they're a concern right now, but it's just out there, right? It's like they still got some tough baseball on the schedule. They got the Brewers. They got some other teams on the schedule. So it's not like a cakewalk here. We can't start talking magic number. But I will say, with a 10.5 game lead over the Reds for any kind of wild card consolation prize, that's why the Giants basically on Baseball Reference are now listed at a 99.9% to make the playoffs, because they're almost guaranteed to make that wild card game at least. So, you know, we can start thinking about that kind of stuff, which is why seeing Kevin Gausman kind of, you know, shit the bed right now is not the best thing to see in the world. But, you know, better now than at the end of the season. So he has time to kind of come out of it.
By the way, I'm gonna bring up a weird stat here. Apparently, the Dodgers are 1-11 in extra inning games.
I think they're 1-12 now, aren't they? Or are they 1-11?
Yeah, the other night became 1-12. I saw it because
Arizona
you're looking at
off on them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one you're looking at doesn't account for the fact that they went extra innings in a 7-inning game, so they lost the game in the eighth. So for some reason, it's not counted in that algorithm that counts the extra inning wins, if that makes sense.
I noticed that, too, on Baseball Reference. Yeah, it's really weird.
Right. They lost an extra inning game in the eighth inning.
That's an interesting stat, only because apparently this is what the Dodgers fans are saying about this team, is that this team, for some reason, has no heart this year.
Ooh.
Like for some reason, after winning it all, like, they've come back with no fire. I'm watching all the games or whatever, but that would indicate something like that when they get into extra innings, they just can't do. And not like the Giants are 5-5, right?
But that's the thing, though. You flip a coin, right? You're gonna win half of them plus or minus a few games in that kind of outlier territory. They are so far of an outlier. They're not the Pirates that are 1-12. They're the freaking defending world champions, and they're 1-12 in extra inning games. That's freaky weird, man.
If they were 500, right? If they were 500, they'd have the best record in baseball right now. That's what's kind of ridiculous about that. You know, but you talk about it. I watch a fair amount of Dodger games, and it does not look, from the players' perspective, like they don't have the heart. You know, they're into every homer and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. But when you got Bellinger underperforming and you're constantly trying to fill holes from injuries this year, the Dodgers did fall off a little from the last few years. And you know, the Giants have that mojo going. They're the ones that have the magic inside working. I mean, you know, the other day, Lamont Wade Jr. hit a home run over his mother's head. You know, that only happens with teams that have, like, those special things. Right. And the Dodgers just don't have that going right now. And it's understandable, because they finally won that title they've been chasing for so long.
Yeah. By the way, the thing you said about them celebrating every home run, like, do you remember the game where there was two back-to-back home runs? And it was a two-run and a solo for us, and then two solos for them. And they were going nuts. Like, they were, like, doing all these, like, they're hitting their hat. And the Giants just kind of didn't really, just kind of like, all right, yep, two home runs in a row. Like, that's not a big deal. We do that all the time.
Yeah, it's all business,
and it was just funny. And then they lose that game, and I'm like, that's what you get, dude, for celebrating being down 3-2. But, you know, look, I don't mind a celebration. It just seemed a little excessive for being down 3-2.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, the players definitely seem emotionally into the games.
They're
not performing as well, and it makes sense. It's not going to help. They just lost Gonsolin to the DL again, so he's going to be out for a little bit. Betts came back, but he played second base yesterday so that he didn't run around on Arizona's outfield. They were worried about him running around out there, apparently, for his injury, but I'm guessing he'll be in the outfield this week against Houston when they're back at Dodger Stadium. You can just kind of see it. There is that difference. When you look at the Giants and the Dodgers from an outside perspective, the Giants have all that mojo working, and the Dodgers, the Giants have just as many, if not more, injury games missed this year than the Dodgers do, and they're still in the same position. You know, they just happen to have better depth right now. This is the deepest Giants team I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it really is. Even more deep than any World Series team, 89, 87, 97, 93. This is the deepest I've ever seen the Giants roster. Anybody can do something from a whole slot, and we still don't have half the guys.
And they're all coming back soon this month, right? Well, let's take a quick dive into the series. Let's look back at Game 1 of the Dodger series early last week, and we'll just fast forward, as I add this here, to the eighth inning in game one with two runners on and nobody out with Kurt Casale at the dish. This is what happened.
15 pitches, only five strikes for Trinan so far. A little check swing bouncer. Muncy's going to field, and he didn't get Yastrzemski. So now Posey ranges away. Bellinger throws it so high. Posey will come in to score. Yastrzemski over to third. That's how the Giants go ahead. 2-1.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's the definition of airmail.
He can't believe it.
He's I love that look there on Bellinger's head.
He overthrew.
Yeah, that was, jeez, man.
That was like 10 feet over his head.
That wasn't even close, man. But it's one of those, you know, it's runs, what was it, Tim Flannery calls them RTIs, right? Runs thrown in. So that was definitely an
What's
RTI.
What's funny about those now is now they got all those nets, right? So do they just, like, play those now? Is it because it doesn't go into the stands anymore?
Yeah, actually, I believe the net is in play. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. You just play it off the net, right? And then you just, like, everybody still has to maybe, you know, take an extra base or whatever. Because it used to always be, oh, runner advances, whatever, plays dead. But now the net, the ball never leaves the field.
So. I know. It's got to, like, go in the dugout now, basically. But
yeah, pretty much.
The Giants are going to take that. So they just roll into game two. Unfortunately, that was the crapper. I mean, you know, against the Dodgers, they're obviously a very good team. And it's Walker Buehler. And you knew that. There might be an issue there. And Tony Disco, again, there are just certain teams that just have your number, and they have Desclafani's number. And, I mean, he didn't get tattooed, but he got hit. And, look, if your offense isn't going to score any runs, you're not going to win the game. So they just lost that one, 8-0. You just throw it away and move on to the next game, which Johnny Cueto, man, I mean, he has been good / inconsistent this year. There seems to be the one thing that does excite me about the inconsistency, and that sounds funny, is that there definitely is a correlation. He does seem to pitch better in higher leverage games. Home opener, right? Against the Dodgers. Those kind of games, he brings the energy. He brings the passion. He brings the shimmy, and he's effective. And you know, he went 5 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, and then the bullpen shut it down, and they go and win 5-0. Crawford with a big 2-run double. Garcia, of course, escaped that bases loaded jam that Cueto got into. But it's just one of those things where, like, Cueto, I think, is an afterthought when you think of, like, oh, playoff rotation or whatever. I think in a playoff series, you can count on Cueto for 5 to 6 innings of good ball.
He also got out of the first inning in this start, which I think has been a huge thing for him. Is like, it feels like the struggles happen early, and he seemed pretty locked in right from the get go. And then we scored 2. So it's just like now he's pitching with a lead, and he's a veteran pitcher. So pitching with a lead, that really works in his favor. But, yeah, you're right. It's like sometimes he's just unbelievable, and then sometimes you're like, dude, what are you doing out there? I do think, though, I mean, he's going through that thing everybody goes through later in the career where the stuff isn't as good as it used to be, and you got to find other ways to get there. And you know,
so but he was still touching 95 and 96 in that last game. He is
maybe he's actually healthy now.
Yeah, that was the most amped he's been.
Sure.
And you know, you also got to appreciate Cap came out to talk to him to see if he wanted to stay in the game and get out of his own jam. And Cueto seemed to admit, I've run out of gas. I'm totally good if you pull me at this point. Like, they had a lengthy conversation before Cap pulled him. He didn't just
get him right away. Oh, yeah, and then Garcia came in, right, and just got out, like, strike out the next guy, and we're good. Yeah.
No, it's great.
That's what the Giants bullpen does, apparently. It's pretty freaking sweet. I mean,
yeah,
Cueto.
Where are these guys? Like, where were these guys at the beginning of the year when we were throwing anybody out there and, like, nobody could throw strikes?
Well, that's what it took to get to these guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're the ones that showed they could do it. Like, we've learned lately that Brebby is not the answer, but Garcia might be part of the answer. Leon might be part
Leon
of the answer.
Leon is throwing incredible right now.
I love that guy.
Rock solid.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the nice thing about that, the Giants had the 4-game series and 3-game series and back-to-back weeks, and the Giants took 5-7. And that was just crucial. I mean, because, again, every single loss that becomes a win is a 2-game swing, right? They got a 3-game lead right now. So even if the Giants took 4 out of 7, they'd have a 1-game lead right now. If they had taken only 3 out of 7, they'd be down by a game right now in the standings. So those games were just so crucial for them to win.
The Giants, at the time of that first Dodgers game, were up we had 15, we were 59-34 and they were 58-37. So they were one game back in the win column, but three games back in the loss column. So two games up. So, yeah. So basically, yeah, it was like we could leave this series not in first place anymore, which my contention has been, and I'm holding to it. I'm sticking to my guns here that the Giants were going to remain in first place the rest of the year. No one's ever going to actually overtake us. I really truly believe that.
That
it's like they're going to get close, and then something's going to happen, and it's not going to work out.
Yeah,
because that's just how it's been.
And just to highlight the bullpen, I know ERA is kind of a little bit of an outdated stat, but they still are number two in the National League in bullpen ERA at 3.37. Wow. I mean, that's it's amazing. You know, it's like what they were like middle of the pack, near the bottom at the end of May, beginning of June. So quite the turnaround for these guys. And we'll talk about McGee later too, which is a big part of it. So then Houston Astros roll in. Here we go. The best team in the American League, best offense, the highest run differential in all of Major League Baseball. The Juggernauts come in. And And Eric,
they're
I mean, Willie's friend, you know, Ty, who we've had on the show, of course, is a huge Astros fan. We had a little group chat going there because we could talk shit back and forth as far as two Giants fans to an Astro fan. And man, we had so much fun just texting back and forth because those games, as you know, were just insane. Just back and forth. And as like, you know, Dusty Baker himself coined it, it was like a homer dome. I mean, it really was. It was like no lead was safe. There were just threats all the time. You never knew if someone was going to jack one out of the yard. And that first game was a, you know, perfect case. The Giants did lose 9-6. It's just a preview of things to come. It was back and forth. That Altuve Grand Slam, unfortunately, it was kind of the big blow. But the Giants didn't back down. They kind of were just chipping away, and they just couldn't quite get close enough because the Astros piled on a couple runs there at the end to kind of increase that gap. But Gausman, again, just did not pitch well. His third consecutive start. So it is a bit of a concern. But, you know, you just chalk that game up to, okay, the offense was fine. Pitching struggle a little bit, but what do you expect against the against the Astros?
Makes the error, right, that leads to the grand slam. And
then, yeah, it was only one unearned run that inning, by the way. So it wasn't it led to.
But, I mean,
all
you take away
runs.
That, you take away that grand slam, and the Giants end up winning the game 6-5.
But you have the butterfly effect, right? You never know, like without that error, Altuve probably doesn't hit the grand slam, so you never know. We'll see.
It also shows. Shows the Astros though. They take advantage. This is what made them so difficult all weekend, and I'm thrilled the Giants won 2 out of 3. The Astros take advantage of every mistake, every single mistake you make. The Astros take advantage of it, and the Giants, to their credit, they pretty much counterpunched and took advantage of every Astros mistake this weekend as well.
Yeah.
But you know that Altuve Grand Slam, you can't put it all on Jackson. You got to put it on the things that led up to it.
Yeah. So I'm gonna. This is a little bit of an aside, but you brought up the Ty conversation. I had a little bit of an interaction with him on Twitter because I could tell that he's my best friend. So like sometimes me and him get a little like I just say it how I feel it, right? Because I know that we know we love each other or whatever. So it's not like whatever. But all year every series he's tweeting about some joke that the media on the other side is making about the Astros, because this is going to happen to them forever, probably. Like, and with the Giants, it was no different. There was some Giants media outlet posted Altuve hitting the bat twice in like anger, and he was saying, "Oh, two bat hit. That means breaking ball or something like that, right?" And he retweets it, and he's like, "Oh, it's so lazy and blah blah." And I'm like, "It's lazy because you've heard it a million times. I agree, but you're going to hear it a million times. It's not going to stop." You know, in 15 years, they're going to be talking about should Altuve be in the Hall of Fame because of that one year where they cheated. And when, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to go away. We know about it as Giants fans. So I was like trying to tell him, like, you're going to have to let this go because it's just going to wear on you, man. Like, if you just keep like getting angry every time about this. But it was funny because I could tell even in our shit talking, he got like a little. He was like, "Oh, you guys are really like let the gloves off," and I was like, "I didn't think that we said anything that crazy."
I didn't think so either. I didn't think anything crazy.
And I think it's because he's a little sensitive right now, and I get it. Like every series, as a fan who did nothing, right? Ty is not guilty of a thing. Just being a fan of a team, he has to deal with like every series people just like laying into his team, and it sucks. And I can see it. And I'm like, man, it's like, and I remember with the Barry stuff, he used to bother me a lot. And I'm like, at a certain point, I just got to be like, all right, whatever, man. Like, I get it. And
yeah,
I
no, I know it's not the same, because, but you know, it's similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love you, Todd.
Place of love, because I want him to enjoy this incredible series, the season that they're having. And I really do think this could have, this might have been a World Series preview. And if it is, holy crap, what a World Series that's going to be.
Because I don't know how my heart's going to take it, because those two games were hard enough on the stress and anxiety levels. That was just like, whoo, boy. I mean, it seemed more stressful than the Dodger game, just because, again, the offenses could explode at any time, you know, and you're just like, no lead is safe. But
oh, my God. When we're like the second two games were up and I'm like, I don't know how we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I know. Leading. It's like, I don't know how we're going to win. All right, so speaking
every inning, they opened up with a base hit or solid contact, you know?
Yeah. And then they'd hit a home run, and the next guy would come up and start the rally again. It was ridiculous.
I know. It was just offensive explosion at
Gurriel, every at bat, that guy was so hard to get out all weekend. Altuve was a pest all weekend. The Astros are good.
Yeah, it's like they up and down the lineup, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, even the guys that you're not really thinking about, Maldonado hit a home run, you know, so you're not thinking about these guys.
Guys hitting 180.
Yeah.
He's hitting behind the pitcher when Greinke was batting on on Saturday, and he still managed a homer.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Giants, like they've been all year, and by the, I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I know that you had seen it too, Eric, but it was the breakdown of the Giants' record by month, and it is remarkably consistent. They had a sub 500 month, and everything is very, very close to one another. Again, their longest winning streak of this year is 5 games. They've done it 4 times separately, and their longest losing streak is 4 games. This team is just consistent, even keeled. They don't get too down, they don't get too up. And, you know, I know it's the hashtag resilient SF. We've said that a million times, but it really is applicable, even if it sounds dorky and corny. The Giants just get off the floor and they win the next 2 games. Like, it's nothing. I mean, it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. But they go right into game 2. They win that 8-6, another slugfest, 14 hits, 2 hits each by Ruff, Estrada, Solano, Duggar, Casale, 5 bombs each by Solano, his 4th, Flores, his 13th, Ruff, his 11th, Wade, his 13th, and Yaz, his 13th. And you mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but Lamont Wade Jr.'s mother happened to be kind of touring, walking around the ballpark, and happened to be in the right field arcade right when her son came up and did this.
Lamont Wade Jr. Of all places to stop.
I know. She like stopped going because he was. Yeah.
In a mile to right, headed for San Francisco Bay.
But I mean, literally right over her head, like down that line.
Lamont Wade Jr.
I've stood there many times.
Oh, I've stood there many times. So I think they have the replay of her kind of cheering.
Just a lazy fastball middle in. And Lamont Wade stays inside it, knocks it in the pond.
A little Barry Bonds Jr. there.
I mean, that was,
And this, here it is. Never get,
And there's Lamont Wade's mother.
Look at that. Right over her head.
That's
so cool.
That's great.
But, yeah, I'll never get tired of watching two old dudes leap off of their kayaks or their paddle boards into the water and fight over a ball. It's just so fun every time.
Oh, a tradition unlike any other. And Rennell made the works for them to get the ball back Lamont's mom. So she got the baseball, which was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
I mean, that was the game. It tied the most home runs in a game at Oracle Park ever with 8. The Giants had 5. Mm-hmm. Houston had 3. As you said, Maldonado. And then who was that guy that kept beating them? Diaz, Aledmys Diaz. Is that who it was?
Yeah, he had 3 homers in 2 games. Yeah,
he had 2 in the Saturday game that they won to 8-6. And it was fantastic to see them win a slugfest like that. You know, mm-hmm. you need to see the Giants take care of business in these tough, tough games against teams that will counterpunch them. And it was just very – I thought Saturday's game, that 8-6 win, was one of the best ones of the entire season. Oh, yeah. Because every time the Astros fought back, the Giants jumped back on top. And it really showed that they could stand toe-to-toe with who's been some of the best team. I mean, this entire week, they showed that they can hang with the teams that have been the best in baseball for the last 5 years. It was just unbelievable. And Saturday was the perfect microcosm of that.
So this game, the Giants take the 1-0 lead, then the Astros take a 3-1 lead, and the Giants tie at 3-3. Then we go up 5-3. Then the Astros tie at 5-5. Then we go up 6-5. And then
And then we go up 7-5, I think. And then
They score again. And then, and then we finish it off. But still, it was like, I mean, it was just nonstop action the entire game. And, you know, again, like I was lucky enough to be home. It was a day game after a night game. Like, usually that's a little bit of a letdown. Nobody was let down on this Saturday. It was just, I was fired up. I was fired up on the couch. And this is the actual day I kind of started feeling a little crappy. But like not during the game, man. After the game, I definitely was like, okay, that was a little too much for me. But yeah, it was incredible. Incredible game. And beating Granke, by the way, too, which apparently doesn't happen. I'd forgotten about this history, but
yeah, apparently he'd never given up a homer at Oracle before.
Yeah. Like, post game comments was like, I thought people weren't supposed to hit home runs here.
Gave up four. I mean, I couldn't believe that. It's only the second time in his second time in Granke's career he's given up four bombs in a game.
Yeah. Against the feared Giants. And then they go into the rubber match, of course. Chris Bryant, we all knew that the debut. We thought it might come on Saturday, but just travel arrangements and where everything was, he couldn't make the game because it was a day game on Saturday. But he makes it in Saturday evening, and then he gets ready for the game Sunday. We already went through kind of the pomp and circumstance and the festivities and the warm welcome and everything like that. But when we get down to the game, Logan Webb starts, and he immediately gives up two runs in the first inning. You're thinking, oh, man, he's been solid, you know, and we'll get to his stats in a bit. But this is the eighth consecutive game the Giants have won on Logan Webb starts. So he's been money. He's been like the golden child lately in terms of guaranteeing a win. But you're like, all right, here we go again. And it wasn't as high scoring. The Giants ended up winning 5-3. Of course, Chris Bryant came up and struck out that first at bat. But, man, he got a standing ovation for striking out because it was over eight pitches and everybody was just happy he was there, I think. It was actually a pretty damn good at bat. That was a pretty nasty slider at the end there, you know. So yeah, it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, he came up in his second at bat and did this.
Left field. It is a home run.
And notice there were two outs and nobody on.
In his first
two outs. And started a rally, too.
And it started a rally. Because they ended up scoring two more after this. Yeah, it was a three-run inning, two outs and no one on. Again, that is a baseball that I would have just jammed and killed my hands on and rolled over to third base. And you see his arms and his elbows tuck in and get those hips flared out early, and he barrels it. And he freaking line drives it out at 104 miles an hour. I mean, that's the difference between mere mortals like us and then, you know, these really amazing all-stars. It's the ability to do those little adjustments.
It's like 6'4", something like that, right? I mean, he's a big boy. 6'5", yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it's amazing to get to that pitch. You know, he's got a very similar batting style to Buster Posey, and Posey also can get his hands in on that pitch. So it's got to be partly from approach, and a lot of it's just from talent. It's just amazing to see, you know, something like that. And I think it did kind of get the Giants going, that solo shot with nobody on, two outs. All the rallies yesterday, nobody on, two outs, and bam. I told you, two-out hits, the key to life. And,
That's the key to that game.
They kept it going. they scored a couple more that inning, and, you know, even the rough homer came with two outs. It was just the Giants, again, it was one of those where just we're better than you. We're good enough to do these things.
You punch us, we'll punch you right back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't back down.
That pitcher, they worked that pitcher, that guy yesterday. How funny was that guy's delivery, too? I know. He was like doing a whole dance move.
A little cha-cha on the mound. Done, too. Cha-cha-cha.
Ty was giving us a little bit of the backstory on him. Apparently, last year, he had never pitched above single A. And then last year, he got just put in like, essentially playoff situations. I guess they just needed somebody. So, like, he literally just got promoted from single A to the majors. And now he's just in the starting lineup. So he said that he's very, very good when he's good, but he can be a little wild. And I could tell, like, he's a guy I would say is the term effectively wild applies to him, right? Because some of the times it's just like people were striking out on these straight fastballs, these just four seamers. But it's clear to me that it's because, like, they just had no idea where it was going.
Yeah.
And he was just like flinging the ball out there. But yeah, that windup is. Yeah, it's like a Brazilian martial arts dance. You know?
I'm sure someone's done some sort of, you know, Brazilian cha-cha music or something overlaid on his
It was very entertaining, you know. He looks to be a decent young pitcher. I'm happy that
big
he was,
dude too, man. He's massive. Holy moly!
He had a hard time putting hitters away. He really did, and that was the crux. That's why they scored runs with two outs.
Mm-hmm. So Ruff in the game also went 3-for-4, triple short of the cycle. So he had his 14th home run, and Solano and Crawford had two hits. Each. So I wanted to kind of look at the history. This is a nice little article on MLB.com. What does it mean to be in first place, or at least share a lead of your division, on August 1st? And now this is since the wild card era. So since 1996, the first full season with at least one wild card in each league after the 95 campaign was limited to 144 games due to the strike, 106 of 144 eventual division champions held at least a share of their division lead entering August 1st. So basically, that's 74%. So 3 out of 4 times, if someone was leading their division on August 1st, they won the division. Now, we don't know if that's going to apply to the Giants, but at least history gives us a little bit of context there that, you know, hey, you know, the Giants are definitely holding serve and it's in a good position. But by no means am I trying to discount what the Dodgers might be able to do this month, especially the Giants and Dodgers only play 3 more times. So a lot of their destiny is not necessarily held within their hands.
It's I would like to see the cross section of that stat with how many times were the other two teams in second and third over 60 wins.
Yeah.
In August.
Right. How good were the teams behind you, right?
Other teams in your division. Because this is what's the most impressive thing right now about what the Giants are doing is just that we're in the clear best division in baseball.
Clearly.
And we've got a 3-game lead in that clear best division. You know, like the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres would be fighting it out in pretty much every other division right now. But the Giants are spoiling their party. They're just up in there like, yo, sorry, this is not the year of Southern California.
Well, not having prolonged losing streaks is probably just the thing they need to keep avoiding. And they're going to win the division like Willie predicted. You know, they'll stay there because they've lost 3 game straight ones and 4 game straight ones. And that's it. Yeah. Those are the only 2 losing streaks all year of 3 or 4 games. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they can prevent sustained losing streaks is really helpful in making sure that they don't drop out of first place the rest of the way. And what is that? You know, I'll take a 3-4 shot to win the division any day. If you had told us 4 months ago when the season was starting that the Giants would have a 3-4 shot to win the division on August 1st, we'd all take it. So I absolutely will. You know, those Padres, I think they're going to fall out of contention a little bit here. Tatis is hurt. Yeah. They got other pitchers hurt. They didn't make any big moves. The Reds are playing well, and the Padres have a really, really tough schedule coming down the way. So, I mean, our division just might be the Dodgers and Giants after a little bit if the Padres can't get their act together. But I mean, a 3-out-of-4 shot to stay out of the wild card game, I'll take it.
Man, it's insane. Yeah, so we already touched upon the LA trade. Scherzer and Turner, of course, go to the Dodgers. I guess we discussed this. Is this enough to get them by the Giants? I mean, is Scherzer replacing Bauer? Is Turner coming in the lineup?
It was if we didn't get Bryant.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
If we didn't make any moves, I think so. But we made a very significant one. But by the way, real quick, just to put a button on that last conversation, I still think San Diego is the other wild card team, though, by the way.
Oh, they're the favorite, no question. I just think they should look over their shoulder.
Yeah, they're still 5 games over, or at least 5 games over Cincinnati, right? So
4.
They're
4. It's down to 4.
Yeah.
Okay. 4 games. So that's a significant amount of decline. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely are in the lead for that still.
And the Reds will cool off.
They got to look over their shoulder a little bit right now. I mean,
sure. Definitely.
They do, especially with Tatis being done. So but just a quick stat. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I think Bryant evened out these moves to me. I honestly, because Scherzer's won every 5 games. Bryant's going to play every day. I get Turner, but also it's like the Dodgers, like, to me, Bryant does more in our lineup than Turner can do in the Dodgers lineup, even though he is a very different type of
player. I agree with you on that one for sure.
Yeah. Like, this, I think the impact he makes is incredible. I mean, the fact that we're batting him second, you know what I mean? Like, he could pretty much go wherever we need him to go.
Kapler already came out and said basically he's going to slide between the 2 and 5 slot depending on matchups and who's available. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, when Longo comes off, now I know he's still a couple of weeks away, but they're going to have La Stella and Belt coming back too. Let's just assume they're all back, right? Let's assume everyone's healthy and everyone's in the lineup. And I know they're going to have to make moves in terms of the roster and what have you. But as far as your starting lineup, I know it depends on a lefty-righty matchup. But Bryant's always going to be in the lineup. So most likely he's going to be in the outfield in most of these cases with a full lineup. You're going to have Longo at third. You're going to have Belt at first, sometimes switching off with maybe a Ruff and a Wade. But Wade's going to be in the outfield, but not hit against lefties, right? La Stella's going to be in there. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you know it's coming, right? Where Kapler makes a certain lineup and one or two of the guys goes over and goes, see, I would have started Ruff instead of this guy, right? Like, you're going to see it happen. And it's like, well, you know, it's a good problem to have. It's going to be fun. It's like, it's not an all-star team, but, you know, trying to make these lineup cards for Kapler is going to be, you know, real interesting come at the end of August.
We got other crazy stuff happening. Like, Casale apparently can actually hit the ball. all the little pieces. I mean, the guys who are on the outs are guys I didn't really expect to be at this point right now. Like, it's like Dickerson might be the odd man out. You know what I mean? And like, that's not the name I was expecting to say when we talk about that. I mean, he's got 10 home runs on the year.
Yep.
But right now he just looks lost out there. So it's roster crunch is coming. It is roster crunch 5.0 or whatever it is at this point.
Connor Joe. Oh, wait.
Who? And Michael Red?
He hit a home run for Colorado last week, by the way. And I saw the highlight and I was like,
what?
Connor Joe? He's on an active roster and he hit a home run? Wow. Yeah, it was one of the top five longest home runs of the week or whatever.
That's hilarious.
I know.
No, you know, you mentioned the phrase is good problems to have because, you know, I truly maintain this is the deepest ball club I've ever seen in my life. My whole Giants fan existence, I can't ever remember them having these kind of problems. They're the best team in baseball without half of their, you know, regular roster. So imagine just how much better they can be at that. And you're right. Somebody's going to be like, well, how come you didn't start that person? And that, you know, I got into an argument the other night with somebody who thinks that Duggar should start over Bryant in center field against right-handed pitchers because Duggar's just got a slightly better OPS. And if you need to put in Chris Bryant at center because you've got Longo at third, Belt at first, maybe Lamont Wade Jr. in left field, you need to find somewhere for Bryant. You're going to stick him in center field over Duggar in that situation. No offense, Steven Duggar, but I'm going to take the MVP guy over the guy who's just trying to figure it out.
I don't think in any universe anyone would start Duggar over
Bryant. Oh, trust me, there's a universe. I spent some time there the other night. and I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I mean, Chris, you don't trade for Chris Bryant to sit him. So he's going to be at the, you know, that's what makes his positional flexibility so great. And that's just the depth. It just, before they got Chris Bryant, I thought this was the deepest Giants club I've ever seen. And now it makes it even more. I don't envy the decisions they have to make, but I'm with you. Dick being not as good is a bit of a surprise. There's been some guys struggling. Flores can't seem to stay healthy, apparently, and he was getting hot a little bit.
I know.
He's got his flashes, I know.
You know, good problem to have is a great way to put it, but it's also like Kapler's going to be under the microscope every time.
You're going to get second-guessed. Yeah, definitely you know get second-guessed.
Every time he does something, people are going to be like, it could have been this guy. And you're like, and that's the, you know, and look, it is. It's a great problem to have. But this is it's baseball. Guys go 0-for-4. That doesn't mean, you know, I made this comment in the Giants subreddit when somebody else made a whole thread about bitching about game day threads. And I was like, I feel you. Because it's basically a whole bunch of, like, goldfish commenting on baseball. But the only thing apparently they've ever watched is the very last at-bat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, someone makes the third out in an inning and they're like, send that guy down. That guy sucks. And I'm just like, guys, because even a guy like Dickerson, yeah, you could say he's struggling right now, but he's still got 10 home runs on the year and very limited at bats. Clearly, and Casale was like hopeless earlier in the season and has had a bunch of like strong at bats of late. Right. So guys, figure it out. This is how it works.
Yeah, but Dick, you know, Chad brings up the roster crunch, and Dick is the perfect example of the roster crunch right now because he's the guy that's not performing. You know, Vossler went down when Bryant was activated, which 100% made sense. You don't need Vossler to back up on the corner infield anymore. But when you got guys like La Stella and Longo coming back, I mean, who's going to be edged out? And Dickerson, with an option remaining, he really is a possibility to be sent down to Sacramento at some time this year. It's something I think that was unfathomable just months ago. And now, you know, like you said, he's been productive. Lately, he hasn't been, but he's been productive during the year. He's probably the guy who's on the odd man out. Lamont Wade is going to have a tough time finding at-bats soon enough, you know.
But also, Dickerson really doesn't have positional flexibility. He's essentially, at this point, a left-handed pinch hitter, right? And when Belt is back, you could start Brian at first, and Belt could be your left-handed pinch hitter. You know what I mean? So, is that a useful piece on a 26-man roster, right? Like, you need to really think about what these guys can actually do when you've got so many moving parts.
Why it's a shame that we might lose Dick,
If you can't play anywhere but the outfield, and you can't play center field either, it's like you got nothing else to do but pinch hit.
That's the lead for the next podcast. Giants might lose their dick. There we go.
Giants might start second half dickless.
All right. On that note, we can do a quick stat check. Giants still holding on to the best OPS in the National League at 787. Still leading the National League in home runs at 158, 10 more than Atlanta. That's the next team in the National League. And they're only one behind Toronto, of course, who has the advantage of the DH. But I also put in a need to work on. We went over reliever ERA too right now, which is fantastic. Still need to work on that average with runners in scoring position. There are just too many games. They're doing 2-for-11, 1-for-8, that kind of thing. So overall, they are 19th in the majors with a 2.45 average, and that's 10th in the National League. So it's definitely something they need to improve.
You know, on that note, we talked about that exact stat last time around, and the Giants took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers without hitting a home run. So they finally were able to string some hits together with some runners in scoring position, which was nice to see, because they are the only team in baseball who's more than 50% of their runs come via home run.
Yeah.
So they really do need to improve that stat. But I do feel like that Dodger series was a really good a good indicator that the Giants can put it together with runners in scoring position. Because that was – I mean, it's kind of weird that they took 2 or 3 from the Dodgers without homering – and then took 2 or 3 from the Astros with all those freaking homers. Like, I mean, the Giants showed they could play baseball either way. So, you know,
Do you want? Yeah, they do.
Right. I think then that indicates that, you know, no matter what that number is they can improve upon that at any time. They do have the talent to do so.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is in a playoff run, right? Like, so be it the a wild card game, which is a one game crapshoot, or, you know, the first 5-game series, what you did during the regular season don't mean jack. Now you're in the playoffs, right? It's 2-out hits. It's runners with scoring position. How you do, it doesn't matter. You know, any playoff run is going to have a team that's going to get hot or not. But, you know, for the stretch run, it would be nice to see him pick up a little bit on that. So, yeah, they're not always waiting for the 2-out bomb with a runner on first or a solo shot here. It'd be nice to score some other ways, too. But, again, they've mollified that by leading the league in home runs. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Kind of counters that. All right, let's talk about who's hot. Logan Webb, we just talked about him. The Giants have won his last 8 starts since May 11th. He's thrown 41 innings, allowed 29 hits, a 1.76 ERA, and a 193 batting average against. He's done this very quietly, as far as I'm concerned. I honestly didn't realize his stats were that, his lines were that good over 8 games. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he seems to have figured out that his best stuff is just really good, and he doesn't have to. I think Kruka might have mentioned it too on the last broadcast, that he doesn't have to nibble with it. It's, you know, his stuff moves enough, he can throw it for strikes, and people are going to swing and miss, or they're going to pound it into the ground, and that's what's been happening. So, you know, it seems like he's just kind of mature. He's still a young guy, he's maturing, it's great.
He's the only guy that started twice this week against the Dodgers and Astros, and they won both games. So that's kind of an impressive when you line it up for the playoffs. You got to have a little confidence boost there.
Well, and giving up 2 to the Astros early could definitely rattle you, right, in the first inning. And he just locked in after that. So
stuck to his game plan, and you got to give a guy credit for doing that.
Yeah, he's like, all right, 2 runs, no big deal. Let's go. Wade Jr.'s last 7.
More than that. That's how I feel.
Yeah. This is the Homer Dome. Dusty Baker said it was the Homer Dome, so we'll be fine.
This is early on. We will score. That's how I feel about every game right now.
Yep.
I know. Lamont Wade Jr.'s last 7 games, hitting 310 with 4 bombs. Little Barry Bonds Jr. Two doubles and six runs batted in. So this dude, man, I still can't believe they got him for Sean Anderson. This is like, what a fleecing. It's just incredible. So kudos to Farhan making that payoff. Darren Ruff, last seven games, hitting .357 with two home runs and five RBI. And then kind of leading the pack is a Jake McGee. His last earned run was given up on May 30th. Since then, he's thrown 21 and two-thirds innings. That's 22 appearances, allowing just eight hits and two walks. His batting average against is .110, and his ERA has now gone from 4.37 to a 2.23, and he just won National League Reliever of the Month for July. So
I don't get it. He only throws fastballs.
They all have that bad stretch, and he went through it back in whenever it was, mid-May, right? And everyone was screaming for his head, and it was kind of like, and that's where, you know, Rogers was taking more of the bulk of the save situations, and now it's kind of switched back. But McGee's figured it out. Whatever it was, he's figured it out, and he's locked in right now. Because a lot of his appearances, too, are like 1-2-3 or just one guy on base. So he's look at that. What is that? 10 base runners in 21 innings, 21 and two-thirds innings? That's a whip of under a half.
This is anti-torture.
Yeah. the anti-Brian Wilson, right? I mean, geez.
He's a dark horse for Willie Mack winner this year. I think he's the kind of guy that everybody in the clubhouse likes, because I know when they talk to relievers, they say that everybody in the bullpen takes their cues from Jake. So he could be that little Willie Mack award winner that comes out, because he's having a hell of a year, you know, on the field as well. Coincidentally, he hasn't given up a run since May 30th. The Giants have been in first place since May 30th.
There you go.
Wow. It's like, all right, amazing. Boys, I actually think there's another reason for this, though, too, and that's that I think Kapler has learned how to manage having multiple guys he can use late in the game, and he's finding spots where these guys can succeed. Because even during that run, there's been times where Rogers has come in the ninth. You know?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. He's flip-flopped. I mean, he did it in L.A., yeah.
The fact that you got, which is kind of weird, because Rogers, you would think, would be better against righties. Apparently, that's not the case. But But McGee definitely, I mean, you know, he throws a fastball, so he's not as much at a disadvantage when it comes to the righty lefty matchup stuff, because, you know, he's just throwing a hard fastball in a good location. But it's like I think that we've got a situation where, yeah, we don't have to throw them out there 5-6 days in a row, tire them out. He can manage the workload, and then he can kind of get into like cruise mode now for the rest of the season, where he kind of knows how his arm feels, how he's throwing, and he's going to succeed when he goes out there now. So I really like the situation that's kind of just materialized as far as
I know. And I think it's kind of interesting, because a lot of Giants fans were talking about wanting Craig Kimbrell, right, for the bullpen.
Oh, yeah. That was
and it's like – it's just like quietly you look at his line going – okay, wait a minute. This dude, and I know Tyler Rogers got some safe situations too. It's not like it was all Jake McGee. But regardless, if he was pitching the eighth or the ninth, he hasn't given up an earned run in 22 consecutive appearances. I mean, you're like, yeah, we need another relief. We need another closer. It's like, I don't know how much better you can do than 22 straight times not giving up a run, but okay. You know? Yeah.
Well, the concern lies, and I think I learned something I thought was really telling. Tyler Rogers was on the postgame show one day, and he said that they're told ahead of time which batters they're going to face in the game, not necessarily which inning they're going to come in.
Yeah.
And that speaks to Willie talking about Cap managing them in the bullpen. And so in such a way that they know who they need to prepare for. And so they're being put in those best positions to succeed right now. And that's why McGee is, you know, doing as good as he is. And that's why, you know, we will see Rogers in the ninth inning still plenty of times down the stretch. But McGee, I guess, you know, he winning pitcher, relief pitcher of the month. That's pretty impressive. It really is. I like the way Cap has done that, though. If these guys are totally okay with just knowing who they're going to face and not necessarily what inning, then who am I to say don't do it that way, you know?
Yeah, and Brooks pointed out, of course, the White Sox did add Kimbrell to a team that already has Liam Hendricks, which, by the way, he's a fun dude to watch.
Yeah.
I love the breakdowns, man.
This is also I didn't really follow McGee's career a lot early on, but this is the most saves he's ever had. He hasn't always been, like, the pure save guy, so he's really kind of grown into that role. And I think that's kind of an important thing. A lot of people think of, you need like some hard throwing young guy who has no fear or whatever, and that's your closer type. But I mean, we've seen guys like, you know, it was Eckersley and like Smoltz and stuff. Obviously being able to throw hard is an advantage, but we've seen guys like transition into this role later on in their careers and do really, really well because of just experience, understanding how to pitch, understanding what your strengths and weaknesses are. He understands that his strength is a fastball and he's going to use it, you know, and he knows how to locate that thing. The argument that I always hear, how is it the major league players can't hit a straight four seam fastball? It's like, because he puts it in really hard to hit locations, and you're down 0-1 after the first pitch every single friggin' time with this guy. So that's how you try to hit a 94 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah, perfect. He's still easier said than done. Yeah, down the middle, you're right. All major leaguers are going to crush that most of the time. But if you keep nibbling on the outside or know the weaknesses for certain hitters, yeah, you can exploit them. It's still, it's still a unique talent, though. Let's say that.
It is, yeah. But, I mean, throwing above the zone and stuff, like, I love watching a guy who can do that really effectively. And he's got that, you know. Posey understands that, too.
Yeah. No, for sure. All right, well, coming up, the Giants open up a four-game series in the desert at Arizona starting tonight. And the real intriguing matchup, of course, is tomorrow night, Tuesday, Johnny Cueto versus our old friend Madison Bumgarner. So that is going to be fun, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see. I mean, I know Bumgarner's not his old self, but, you know, I'm sure he's going to get jacked and amped for this game.
Yeah, I also predict that we are going to jack the ball against him.
It's in the desert too, right? Same. Like, I know.
Giants lineup against left-handed pitching is about to be a mashing group. So
I'm gonna feel real bad when I'm just watching him, you know, leave the game in the third inning. Yep. You know, giving up
after 69 pitches. Yeah, exactly. Think
there's a recipe for Giants fans kind of being happy and feeling really bad at the same time. Yeah.
It's like that guilt that, you know, I just ate the whole box of ice cream.
And I loved every moment of it.
But it was so good.
It was so good while it happened. The guilt will come later. That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And then they travel on to Milwaukee, who's definitely not a shabby team. So, again, you know, a nice long seven-game roadie here. But Giants are in a better position than I think any one of us would have thought. And by the way, I think I don't have it up here, but I just wanted to note that I think I had their win total at 76. They're only 10 wins away from that. I think they're going to reach it, guys. I think they're going to reach it.
Yeah, how many months do they have to get 10?
Oh, right. Boy. And they never won again.
They haven't lost more than 10 in any month this season. So,
yeah, I mean, look, we do have. You know, we got a lot of, like, we should consider slam dunks coming up. But we also got, like, the Brewers, the A's.
Yeah.
The a lot Mets, of Padres. Braves, you know what I mean? So there's some games out there that are going to be tough.
But, again, you know, you walk through the gauntlet of 7 with the Dodgers and 3 with the Astros, yeah, and you come out 7-3. You're like,
right,
bring it. Like, just bring it. Whatever,
who
man.
What else you got?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we're mowing through these guys, so we can, you know, take it. So we'll see if they stay hot. We did get a question from a listener, so I just figured we'd wrap up with this. Hank Alonzo on Twitter asks, it's highly likely that two of the three NL West teams will be playing each other in the wild card game, whether it be the Giants or the Dodgers or the Padres. Who do you think their pitcher would be, and how would we match up? So I kind of already mentioned this earlier. I think before the All-Star break, there's no doubt it's Kevin Gausman. Predicting into the future, I'm still going to say Kevin Gausman because the game's not tomorrow, right? So if we're thinking it's a wild card game or game one of the NLDS, I'm still going with Kevin Gausman. But if the game was tomorrow, I might be going Logan Webb or Desclafani. What about you guys?
I think I stick with Gausman, but he has a short leash. Yeah. I think that's my play, is you start him and then you understand that your entire pitching staff is
ready to go. Yeah.
This is going to sound weird, but I kind of just any one of the starters right now. I think the Giants have a chance to win every game that is started by every single starter right now.
Whoever's next up in the rotation.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, because look at the rotation we're working with right now.
This is your time to shine. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
It worked once, you know, but I mean, like, who's the weak link in the rotation right now? Is it Cueto? Is it Webb? Is it Wood? Is it Gausman? Is it DeSclafani? Look at those names. Every one of those guys has had a stretch this year where they're just getting it done. Cueto shows that he can do it. Cueto, you know, stepped it up. You know, we saw it was a big time game. He stepped it up the other day against the Dodgers. I'm pretty sure he was the pitcher in the Giants' first, you know, full capacity game this year as well. And so he stepped it up that way and he won that game. So, like, I kind of trust Cueto. And then Webb, they've won 8 straight Webb starts. So I trust Webb. Gausman, well, he's been the ace all year. I trust Gausman. DeSclafani, he's beaten up on, he hasn't let up more than 3 runs to anybody this year but the Dodgers. So I trust DeSclafani. Yeah. Right. So, like, every one of them has something going for them. So I'd be willing to start just about anybody at this time. But if I had to pick an ace, I'd still go with Gausman. You have to.
The best roster.
He's definitely earned it. I mean, that's why I'm saying I'm still going with Gausman, like, overall. Just tomorrow, that's where I'm hesitant. But I do understand your point. And, of course, Willie said, like, you know, Kevin would know, like, hey, if you get into trouble that first inning, we might yank you. You know, like. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they showed it in the L.A. game in Dodger Stadium when Gausman didn't have it. They got him out of there after like three innings. That was all they let him go. So, yeah. I mean, they've already proven to Gausman that they'd give him a short leash. And then you also have to wonder who would start for the Dodgers or the Padres. I mean, it would have to be Bueller for the Dodgers and probably Darvish.
I'm thinking Darvish for the Padres. And right now, Bueller for the Dodgers, and I think it would depend on how Scherzer does the rest
of the year. Although, yeah, Scherzer is there for a reason, so maybe, you know what I mean? Depending on how well
it could be a Scherzer. I tell you, man, nothing would make me happier than the Giants winning the West, and we all get to sit back and watch the Padres and Dodgers beat each other up for a game. Mm-hmm. That would just,
throw their best starter at each other and, pull out all the stops, go to bullpens early. Like, let's go. That would
be let's go. That would be so much fun. But
play 15 games.
Play 15 games.
In that scenario, we're definitely facing whoever comes out of that game.
Yep. Yeah, because, the NL West, it looks like, is going to have the best record. We'll be the number one seed and we'll play the wild card. Yep. And most likely
be Milwaukee is only about 3 or 4 games back of the Giants right now. So it would behoove them to beat up on Milwaukee this weekend. They got 7 against Milwaukee the rest of the way. So if they can take 4 of 7 from Milwaukee, that should, help them keep their distance from them.
Yeah. That is true. There's still a lot of baseball left. So things can definitely change. But
yeah, things can change very, very quickly. Like, I was texting back and forth, the Giants were 5 games back of the Padres with 10 left to play in 2010, and we all know what happened. So, anything could happen down the stretch. That was one of the crazier leads that was cut into with a few games left. But a 3-game lead with, 50-something, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. That could be gone in a weekend.
Yeah, and then weren't we down 2 with 3 to play against San Diego?
Because we had to win.
We had to sweep the series.
We had to sweep them. Yeah. That was pretty amazing, man.
And we did.
The Padres Padre'd. That's what they do what they do.
They're going to do it again this year.
They might, and I feel bad for them with Tatis and those guys going down. But, hey, whatever. I'm not going to feel bad.
We finished the season with 3 games against them again, right? So if they do end up falling out completely, like if everything just blows up, that could just be like, okay, we're just facing, their B team now. Okay?
Yep.
to clinch a division spot.
Yeah, the Reds get in there. That'd be weird. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 233 of the Torture Cast. We come to you live roughly every Monday or so on Facebook. You can find our audio podcast on your favorite podcast platform on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google, etc. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at TortureCast. Like us on Facebook. You could follow us individually, myself at ChadK21, Eric at 2OutHits with the number 2, and Willie is at Willie Dills. I know you guys might have some stuff to pimp. Willie, what you got?
Currently nothing, unfortunately, but I have streamed a couple of days here and there, and Wednesday there will be a stream because there's a new Hearthstone expansion dropping, and I already did pre-purchase it. There's a lot of stuff with Blizzard these days, which makes me less inclined to play a lot of Blizzard games. But you know, look, there's nothing. I can't take my money back at this point on this one. I already bought the things. I'm definitely going to play Hearthstone still. So if you want to check that out, twitch.tv/WillyDills, where you can find me doing that. And that should be Wednesday night.
And Eric, what about you?
Same as it ever was. Giants Chatter Facebook group. Come join, play, laugh, love. We have a live game thread going, and we also do live stream previews of series and, you know, wrap ups of series. And if you missed it on Friday, we did do 5 straight hours of streaming during trade deadline. And I tell you what, it was a blast. It really was. The time flew by. And if you're interested in learning a little bit about the minor leagues, there's a stretch on there with Roger Munter of There Are Giants. He was fantastic as a guest. I felt like he answered all our questions about the way things work in the minor leagues really, really well. But Giants Chatter, it's a fun little group on Facebook to join. Everybody's, you know, pretty cordial with each other. So head on over there to find more Giants fans.
So you don't have that other announcement anytime soon? Is that happening yet?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I just thought maybe you forgot or something happened.
No worries.
All right, everyone. Hey, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate the listens and the follows. Go ahead and keep those likes coming and all that good stuff. But have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Monday for episode 234. Until then, bye-bye.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.